The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Cosi.org.
If scary movies give you dread, keep you up late night in bed, here's a podcast that will help you ease your mind. We'll explain the plot real nicely, then we'll talk about what's frightening so you never have to have a spooky time. It's Ruined.
Hello, welcome to Ruined. I'm Hallie.
And I'm Allison.
Oh, sorry, that was my phone going off. And this is a podcast where we ruin a horror movie just for you.
Just for all of you, it is mid to late January. Hallie, how you doing?
I'm okay. I am, again, my day job is writing political monologue jokes, so I'm just never reading the news. And it is like drinking poison all day, every day.
Yes.
And Trump just last night put the federal DEI employees on a leave. And yeah, I guess I just, it's like a fire hose or a waterfall of toilet water constantly filling my eyes, nose, and throat. And that's pretty much where I'm at. How are you doing, Allison?
Yeah. Well, relieved that I sleep with all my electronics in bed with me.
Sure. Makes sense.
I don't have good bed hygiene when it comes to tech. I look at my phone, and when I'm done looking at my phone, I put something on my computer to watch as I fall asleep. And that's fine. Mm-hmm. Except that last night, so Riz sleeps with me too, and he keeps edging me. Oh, he keeps moving closer and closer to the middle. He gets closer and closer, but his eye kind of turned too. We end up in the middle of the bed.
Sure.
And then I knocked my laptop off my bed.
Oh.
So it seems fine because it's old and thus sturdier.
What size bed are we talking about here, Allison?
A queen.
Okay, so there is room.
Oh yeah, there's room for everybody. I knocked it off.
We got to work on this. I think that should be your goal in 2025. Better sleep hygiene.
Yeah, better sleep hygiene. I need it, like the laptop doesn't need to be there, but the laptop, it's just like, I don't have a TV in my room. And like, I really have a hard time falling asleep without like ambience. Like, I guess I could do something audio, but I could usually
fall asleep again now that I'm medicated for ADHD. But what I do sometimes is I will set a timer and play like rain sounds or a podcast for 15 minutes. Could you do something like that? Could you set a timer on your phone maybe?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Because like my other concern is like a lot of stuff like will run until it stops. Like the reason I like watching something on my computer is Netflix like does turn off after like, like less than 90 minutes. So like, I want to watch 30 Rock. That's on. But like, I guess the sounds don't do. I need like actual talking.
Okay.
So.
Well, we'll troubleshoot this. We'll come up with some stuff.
Yeah. I know there's podcasts that are like kind of built for this. And like, I could always put like Netflix on my phone or something like that and then not need like at least to have the computer in there and slowly like wean off of having like a bright blue screen staring at me from an inch away.
I mean, alternately, you get a TV for your bedroom and then you set the timer on that because I know you can set a timer on a TV.
There's not really anywhere to put one in my bedroom. Mm-hmm. So that's like its own kind of interior design problem. So,
well, we tried our best to troubleshoot it, and
we're gonna find something better than what I'm doing now. And I'm just grateful that taking a fall off of my bed did not destroy this computer, which I assume is always on the verge of destruction.
Yeah, I built a planned obsolescence. My personal computer is on its last legs, and I'm just gonna ride it till the wheels fall off.
Yep, I'm letting this thing go until I'm trying to I have enough credit card points to buy a new computer with my business card. So I'm going to try and do that.
We all have goals for the new year. And yes. I think that's a good one for you. Having heard about your computer dying for, I would say, the entire time we've known each other.
For the last 4 years.
Another month, another live show, and we'll hope you'll join us Sunday, February 23rd at our regular time.
7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. That's the way the time zones work, we think. But if you come to the live shows, you know what time they are. It's the regular time, and we will be doing
the brand new movie Companion. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm very excited. Listen, it seems like a little bit of a Megan 2.0, you know. We'll, of course, we'll tell you all about it. Again, Sunday, February 23rd at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
You can get your tickets to the live show. That is Sunday, February 23rd at moment.co/ruined. That is moment.co/ruined. And if you're a $20 Patreon tier member, those tickets should be coming into your inbox. That's only for the $20 tier. I know it's like sometimes confusing if you're a Patreon member. So just check. And if you have any issues, you can always message us through Patreon if you don't know what's going on with your tickets. But they're $10 or they're included, and we'll have all the regular fun that we have at every live show, which is the recap, the chat, some games, and a lot of fun.
Well, we'll see you there, or rather you'll see us there, and we'll know you there. We'll feel your spirit through the universe. And until then, please
Keep it spooky.
Speaking of something that has been around for a long time, this month we are kicking off horror movies starring pop stars. And we're going to have to use pop stars like broadly, because I realize there aren't that many.
Yeah.
That
and we haven't starring done. Is also going to be a kind of a loose term.
Oh, but yes. I mean, they're all stars, whether or not they deserve the title in this particular film.
Yes, exactly.
But we are starting with a movie with a proper pop star and a proper, she is a starring role. We are doing I Still Know What You Did Last Summer.
Yes.
Please look up I Know What You Did Last Summer. We've done the episode.
Yes, and this, go listen to that if you have not.
And this is a sequel. This came out in 1998. It stars two of the, well, obviously most people were slashed to death in the initial film. Yes. But we have our returning stars, Jennifer Love Hewitt and Freddie Prinze Jr. Love to see them. And they are joined, the other couple in the film is Mekhi Phifer and the singer Brandy. And this was Brandy at her, I mean, she's still at her peak as far as I'm concerned.
Of course.
But this,
this was
her peak. Time. The late 90s was Brandy's time. And in case you're young and you don't know her, please, I beg of you, look up her hit. It came out in 1998. Duet with Monica, The Boy Is Mine. Please watch the music video.
Do you, I'm curious, and I don't know the age group that listens to this podcast. I assume it's like more gals who are, or like more folks who are closer to our age than young. But I'm curious if that song has like penetrated like Gen Z and Gen Alpha. Like, do they know it? Or is that like not part of the, like, is that a blind spot for, like, because there's stuff where I'm like, yeah, you couldn't not know who, like, we're talking about Britney Spears today in a different way, but like, if you're hearing, you're like, oh, her music, I see. But like, The Boy Is Mine is such a moment.
I also think it really, I think like Brandy was not as popular in like white pop culture, but I think has continued on. So I think if you're black, it also makes a difference. I also think that we grew up in the 90s where we had more black sitcoms. And Brandy was also the star of Moesha. So she was she like was everywhere.
A celebrity. Yeah, she was very famous.
So I think that added to the all pervasiveness of this hit, but also her in general, especially this year.
Yeah, also like her, like, and I don't know her discography as well. Like, I just know like songs that I recognize, but like her, I don't know if it was her debut album or what, like Sitting Up in My Room is like an all-timer. There's like, she's just great.
I'm trying to remember. Yeah, so that's the one she's the all the hits came off of, I believe, was Never Say Never, 1998.
Yes.
Oh yes, producer Rodney Darkchild Jerkins. This was a Darkchild moment in time. And I also feel like there were a lot more, like, she is pop, but she's also R&B. So I feel like there was a lot of like Whitney, Mariah, like there was like an ecosystem of pop and R&B that was happening in the late 90s that was really wonderful.
It really was. And pop is fun now, but boy, to grow up during that, I'm forever grateful to the timeline gods.
And then also, I feel like The Boy Is Mine music video to me set an aesthetic standard for that time period where it's like everything, we're coming out of a Calvin Klein, everything's kind of gray suiting. And this was like a softer, like a lavender with silver makeup. Like a pastel, but cool tone.
But still kind of like rich. Yes. Like everything felt very luxurious. Like saturated in a way. Silks. Even if it was like softer. There satins. Was just this. Yeah, satin, silks. Everything was like very like velvet to the touch.
Yes.
Like the makeup, like their skin, like the makeup, the hair, like the whole. That, man, I want to watch this as soon as we're done.
I will say in the movie, like you see their apartment before we go to our destination. It is the Anthropology, Free People fantasy of like, I guess I because I would have been like 14 in 1998. This was like, it's like, it is everything. It's girly. It's comfy.
This was everything I ever dreamed
of. And so again, it's of that era that lives, I think, inside both of us is like, that is as a girl what you want to achieve. I think that is like. So who else would you put in this film other than Moesha?
Yeah, you have to.
And also Mekhi Phifer, a huge
star. Love Mekhi Phifer.
And they're both great in it. And unfortunately, it is a year later. I do love a sequel that happens a year later on the dot from the initial one. We always like to have Allison watch the trailer. Allison, what are your thoughts about the I Still Know What You Did Last Summer trailer?
This brought me back. I also like, I'm like instantly transported to like an MTV VMAs. Like, I'm just like, oh, I feel like that was like when they would release the
soundtrack.
First ad.
The soundtrack.
I mean, the
Allison.
Soundtrack, unreal.
Yeah.
I can't, even just like when like the first like needle drops of like whatever the song that's opening in the trailer is, I was like, well, it's 1998 again. And I am at my friend's house. But like, I feel like it was like the, not the VMAs, but the the movie awards would be like when they would drop the I remember I'd be like watching it. They're like the first look at I Still Know What You Did Last Summer, and it just really
it was thrilling
took me back. I love it in the trailer, like I know they go to the Bahamas, and I remember this like movie coming out, and I remember like the loose plot. It's possible I've seen it. I have no idea. We can't say neither here nor there if this is a movie I've seen. I don't remember what happened to the first one at this point.
Great. Well, don't worry. We'll get into that. That's obviously recapped in the film, but we'll make sure you remember it.
The voiceover is like, they're on vacation, miles from civilization. And it's like, they're at a resort. Like,
yes. And I do think that is the most rickety part of the film is putting them at a resort when they could have, like, we could have played this differently. I guess they wanted bodies. They wanted the body count.
Sure.
So it makes sense. There's other staff.
Yeah.
But I will agree. Yeah. It does appear. I was trying to figure out where the production is. It's not on Wikipedia. It does look like it's shot outside Boston. And we've sort of brought in some palm trees or, you know, we're kind of hedging our bets. But they also kind of explain that, like, when we get into, like, what kind of resort this is. This is not.
Yeah.
This is not a top-notch resort. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, definitely, it's like that hook is always scary. I remember the tanning bed scene
from
it being talked about, like whether I saw the movie or just the trailer, who could say, but just, I mean, this is the peak of, I hope that the younger generation has or will have something that is this.
I guess it's like, important. Riverdale or... I mean, there are so many movies now. I just feel like so many of them are so... And here's the thing. This is not a great movie, but it is fun and watchable, and the stars are great. So we're not even saying, like, a good movie, like, to stand the test of time.
The fun and the comfort of the time that it like, it's, like, it's exactly... It was... I guess it was for us.
Yes.
And so that's why I'm like, oh, do 18-year-old or like 15-year-olds now, like, do they feel like there are movies that are for them, or is it just
and I guess it's sort of the movie the horror movie landscape is so different. I feel like you get real movie stars, so I feel like that sort of like pulls the genre towards, like, well, you need the big talent.
Older.
And not that these aren't bigger talents, but I think what if you could get like someone who's already established, I think they will. And then I don't know, I guess like the Netflix is sort of like cheaper movies, but then you see like Terrifier 3. And like, to me, if I was a teenager, I loved it as an adult. I would have loved it as a teenager, but that doesn't star anybody of note and it doesn't need to.
And that's not the same as like fun, sexy peers.
Yes.
And like a mystery to solve.
Maybe Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. Maybe that's the closest thing that's coming to mind.
That's probably the closest.
Right, and has celebs that already existed. So I think, okay, that's, I think we're landing at least that.
All right.
And that's a couple of years ago at this point, right? So hopefully we'll have more.
Jen Alpha, we're thinking of you.
Allison, how scared do you find the concept of being trapped at a resort with a serial killer, but it's kind of like a C-minus resort?
Oh God, the C-minus resort of it all. Like, can we at least be like at a White Lotus?
You'd
like,
think.
You know, it's
not this time around.
I mean, I guess then I would be more aware of what's around me. Like, when you're in the lap of luxury, like, you're not paying attention to, like, was that there before? Who's that?
Yes.
But when you're like, oh, everything sucks, you're just nitpicking. So, like, maybe you'd be, like, more on your toes.
Like, wait a minute. I agree. I also think in the lap of luxury, there would be so many people that it would, I think an individual murder would be easier to pull off. A serial killer, it's harder to hide when you have 100%. The density. So this is sort of, it's not only kind of a crappy resort, it's off season. So I think it's sort of like we.
Okay.
And most people are leaving. We'll find out. It's 4th of July, which they're saying is the beginning of storm season in the Bahamas. Mm. So pretty much everyone who is going to come already went. Like, they've already been for the season. The reason you're coming is you got a free room at the end of the season. So.
Right.
And then finally, would you like to guess the twist in I Still Know What You Did Last Summer?
Guess the twist.
Would you say this has a twist ending?
Well, yes. I mean, this was a classic, like, reveal of who the killer is, you know? So this is, remember, this is a sequel.
Yes.
So in the first one, the killer was Ben Willis, the fisherman they hit with their car and dumped in the water. Turns out he didn't die. The last movie did end with them dumping him in the water yet again. Do we know for sure that he is dead? No, because his body was never identified. So.
Right. I'm going to guess that it's a family member of his who has come for vengeance to kill the people that killed. I'm going to say it's his son killed his father.
Perfect. Great. Love it. Let us begin ruining.
Like, don't bring Brandy and Mekhi Phifer into this. Like, leave them. It's not their fault.
I know. I also think this is an era of, like, in the 90s, like, trying to address race, but it's, like, only through the lens of, like, the awkwardness of white people or, like, jokes. And there are a couple moments where it's, like, not that it's aged poorly. It's just sort of like, we do have a more sophisticated idea of race, which is good. And, of course, that is why conservatives are pushing back on us, is that seeing Moesha did work. I think about it all the time. Like, we had so many black sitcoms that I would watch as a white kid.
100%. Just because
it was on and people talked about. Like, Will Smith, I think, moved the needle forward on racial equality just by 100%. Being hilarious and everyone in America loving him. And
in a recognizably, like, the same structure of, quote, like, white sitcoms. Like, it's like, it's a family sitcom. They're in a nice house. Like, it didn't have to be, like, it really...
Yeah, and I think, like, people talk, I mean, Norman Lear, RIP, has passed on, and people talked about his legacy, but it really is true. It's like, he really did land the plane bringing these, like, more progressive ideas to the sitcom format, specifically on the Family, Maude, Sanford and Son, like, the Jeffersons, like, bringing these ideas and black people specifically to mainstream media in a way that's like, wow, you, of course, like, that, what a genius to be able to do this.
Yes.
And I think, I mean, like, not that we don't have black shows now, but, like, we don't have the environment where everyone's watching the same thing. Everyone's very, like, is a niche environment. And so, again, it's like,
Abbott is doing a nice job of filling the much larger void that, like, just losing entire networks that had budgets, like, when, like, on WB and UPN, even though that's where, like, a lot of black sitcoms lived, like, still, like, they were accessible. They were on cable. Everybody could see them. Versus now when things are siloed off into, like, very specific streamers.
Yeah. So if you have a black sitcom you love or a sitcom starring people of color, let me know. I'm happy to watch it. Also, Laverne Cox has a new sitcom where she has to move home. And, you know, I think for a while I was like, I'm over having to move home sitcoms, but I will accept a twist on a old classic.
I'll take that for her.
Let us begin ruining I Still Know What You Did Last Summer.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Allison, we open on screams. Oh, perfect. Over a black void, basically. And we are hearing sound bites from I Know What You Did Last Summer. Of course, we're recapping. He's dead. We hear Barry, R.I.P. Barry, from the first movie, warning the teens never under any circumstances known to God speak about this again. The classic Julie screaming, "What are you waiting for?"
Yes.
And then the snarl of the first movie's killer, Ben Willis, is telling them, if you leave a man for dead, make sure he's really dead. So just to refresh, you know, four teens believe they kill a man, attempt to hide his death, and he seeks his revenge, killing two of them, and the remaining two basically kill him again to their understanding and let his death remain a mystery. And do not accept responsibility for the murder. Basically, yes. Like, they throw him over the boat, and he, as far as anyone knows, at the end of the day, Ben Willis, at the end of the last movie, they believe to be dead, but they don't have the body, so they don't have the evidence.
Right.
A classic 90s concept.
Yes.
We open on a Pieta, the crying Mother Mary holding a dying Jesus. And I'm like, all right, now we're getting into it. And Julie, of course, is going into confession in a Catholic church. She whispers to her, sort of like, I don't know if you've... Have you ever been in a confessional, Allison?
No.
I don't know why you would have been. Yeah.
The only... I mean, I know of what the interior looks like from various TV and film appearances of confessions, but I have not personally been inside of one.
So it's sort of like the more liberal churches growing up. I feel like sometimes you would just be sitting in a room talking to the priest, but the old school version is there's like a sort of a screen. And so you could sort of see the priest, but you're talking, and so you don't have to like be embarrassed confessing your sins. Yeah. That, of course, will bind you to God forever, seeking his forgiveness, warping your life. She whispers through the grate, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been a year since my last confession. I've never told anyone this, not my mother, not my friends, not the police. Only the people that were there are the ones they know, and they're not around anymore. I killed a man, but it was an accident. I've tried to get past it, but I can't. I keep having these terrible dreams. And that man, he killed Barry and Helen, but I got away with it. And it haunts me. I guess I need to face the fear and name him Ben Willis." And from the other side of the screen, the priest replies, "I know. I know what you did last summer." She looks up and she can see the man's face. It's Ben Willis, the fisherman killer. From the first movie. And then he punches through the screen. Like, he punches his fist into her face. She wakes up screaming. It's, of course, a dream. Unfortunately, she had fallen asleep in her political science class. So everyone turns to look at her, and she runs out humiliated. She is followed by her classmate, Will, played by Matthew Settle, who I do not remember from the 90s. He immediately has a crush on her. You know he's a puppy dog. It's Jennifer Love Hewitt, who wouldn't be obsessed. Julie's distraught, and she's saying, like, "I thought I was over these dreams. I haven't had one in months, and now all of a sudden I'm having them again." And because they're friends, he knows about her friends being murdered. So he's like, "Well, you know, I mean, it's the anniversary. So it's in exactly the year from the date of the first film."
Scream did this too, right?
Yes, I believe so.
In one of them.
With the second one. So he knows about the murders, and he's like, "Well, it's the anniversary coming up." Turns out they're in summer classes, and in order to establish it's summer, somebody sets off some firecrackers and screams, "Happy 4th of July!" Perfect way to get it out. Will knows about the murders. She asks him, "Oh, are you going out of town for the long weekend?" He's like, "I'm just going to stick around and study." And she says, "You're such a good friend, Will." And we can see in his face, he is obviously in love with her. He's like, "Oh, I, and she goes back to her dorm. At her dorm is waiting her boyfriend, Ray, played by Freddie Prinze Jr., to pick her up and ask, "Who is that guy you were talking to?" He says, "It's just Will. It's just a friend." He's like, "Well, yeah, he's just your friend. I'm saying he seems interested." Their plan is to go away for the weekend. He wants to go back to Southport, their hometown, unfortunately also the location of the murders, for a delicious crab boil and the yearly Croaker Queen pageant, which, if you recall, Sarah Michelle Gellar's character, Helen, was in the pageant. Obviously, Julie says, "I don't want to do that.
Yes.
I can't go back there yet. That's a horrible idea. It's going to bring all these memories. It's not going to be a fun time for the 4th of July. Ray takes
even a crab boil couldn't get me.
Oh, no,
to return to the scene of a murder I committed twice.
And I do love a crab boil.
Yeah, who doesn't?
Ray takes this as a personal rejection. And he's like, "Oh, okay. I guess you're too good, or you're over Southport. My boat is there. I live there. I fish there." As you recall, he's also a fisherman. And she says, "Okay, well, how about you stay here?" I think the implication is that they're in Boston. She's at school in Boston. It's like, we could watch fireworks over the harbor. You could stay here for the weekend. Why need that? He's basically like, "I need to work over the weekend," which is also like, okay, so you wouldn't have been able to hang out with her. Why make her go back there if you have to work all weekend? But really, he just feels rejected. He feels like, okay, so you're never going to move back there. You're never, I can't be a part of your new life now that you've left. That's not what she's saying. She's saying, "I cannot go back to the site of this horrible, the deaths of our friends, this crime that we have committed and that we must hold secret forever. I don't want to do it. Let's just go and like get a motel," whatever. Like,
yeah.
Unfortunately, he says, "Look, I think it seems like you need space from Southport and probably from me, too." And then he storms away across the quad as she calls after him. Oh, Ray, hot headed.
What she's saying
at all. As always, she goes into her incredible apartment. It's creams. It's shell pink. It's cozy sweaters. It's so good.
And also, like, this was back when, like, in film and TV, like, everything looked lived in. Like, now it's like when you see stuff like either in scripted or reality, like everything just looks like a model home.
Yeah.
And it's like, does that, like, I miss when stuff looks like people actually lived in it.
Well, and I think I don't know much about set designers, but I have to imagine like they are some of the first people that they cut out of the budget because they don't care. And then you see something like this and it does make such an impact. It's like everything's like lit in golden light and it's like, this is my new life. It's all happening. She goes into her bedroom. There are also 5 locks on the door that she locks. She goes to her bedroom. She sees a framed photo of Helen, Sarah Michelle Gellar. Sad about her fight, she crawls under her comforter and falls asleep. Later, it's the middle of the night. The front door slams. And she, of course, grabs the knife out of her bedside table and walks through the apartment, not seeing that a figure has darted behind her back into her bedroom. Finally, she hears a noise in her closet. The only light lit in her room, and she approaches the closet door and then brings her knife down and stabs it down. Allison, it's her roommate, Carla, played by Brandy.
Girl.
Carla says, "I thought you were out of town. I just wanted to borrow your black skirt, but I'm not ready to die for it." Carla takes almost being stabbed really well.
Yeah, she's rolling with it. I would have been like,
I think we need to be reassigned.
In a different place.
Yeah. I think I'm going to need to move. And I think that is sort of the only problem with her character is that she's only there to sort of move Julie along as a character. And if she were to have her own needs or demands, the movie would be different, and it's not.
Yes.
So Carla's saying, like, "You know what? You should come out with me tonight." Julie explains, "I hurt Ray's feelings. I just want to kind of crawl back into bed." Carla says, "Look, Ray lives in Southport. We live here. Will lives here, and he's a really nice guy, and he lives on the street." So Carla's obviously angling for Julie to cut the dead weight of old Ray and date Will, who goes to college with them and is really nice and fun. Again, Julie said, "I'm not having that conversation. I will go to the club with you." We go to a hopping club. Incredible. Playing the orgy cover of Blue Monday. Not the best, but
at the moment.
Carla's working. I think she's like a bottle girl, and her boyfriend Tyrell, played by Mekhi Phifer, is there. His character description is horny and then angry, which again, I think for the black characters to be sort of cookie cutter.
Yeah.
They do the best they can. And he is horny nonstop, right? But again, they're like supposed to be 19. So, you know, that makes sense.
It's like, yeah, they also like would be. But
yes, absolutely.
It's still like, let's also flesh this guy out a little
bit
more.
Yeah, I don't know what his major is. You know, I don't know where he's from.
Yeah.
Tyrell is basically like, when is your break? I want to be alone with you. I'm obsessed with you. You know, let me know when I could possibly have sex with you. The second that is available to me, you just let me know. Carlos says, again, I'm at my job. How about you go ask Julie to dance? And he tries, but Julie's like, have you seen my people dance? You know, we snap our fingers and we're like, oh, okay, we don't have to get into the racial politics of how you're a bad dancer. That's totally fine. Carla finally comes. She said, I'll take my break now. We'll go dance. So they all have the dance floor. We're having a great time. And Carla says, oh my God, is that Will Benson? That's so crazy. What are the odds that he would know to come here between 10 and 11 while you would be here? Anyways, Tyrell and I are going to go dance. So they sort of break off. Obviously, Carla has set up Will to come meet with Julie. Will's kind of embarrassed. He's like, this was my idea. Carla called me. I hope that's okay. Can I get you a drink? He goes to get drinks. And it's an incredible late 90s club scene. She looks up to the catwalk, like the second story, and sees the fisherman. Ben Willis in her fisherman gear and hat, staring down. She's a brave person, so she runs up the stairs to confront him. I would just leave.
Insane. Nope, I'd be out of there so fast.
Allison, of course, there's no one there. And behind her, we see the figure of the fisherman once again. She whips around. He's not there. So again, she's having the dreams. She's seeing things. So when things do hit the fan, she is going to doubt her own perception. We've seen it a million times. Hits every time. Will comes back with the drinks. She runs out apologizing, I can't do this. In the morning, she wakes up in the most perfect bed. It looks so cozy. A perfect, like, college girl life that I remember imagining as a girl.
Oh, incredible. 100%.
She hears a thumping. She goes to investigate. It's just Carla putting her shoes in the dryer. Did you put your sneakers in the dryer? I feel like that would never have occurred to me, but I feel like that was much more of a thing growing up.
I think also there were a lot more canvas and fabric sneakers.
Yeah, I feel like now they'd melt.
Yeah, or like I buy a lot of like leather sneakers, like my like white busted up Reeboks are like, well, they're not really fabric, but like a Ked, a Converse, you know.
Yeah.
I guess those, but no, I didn't.
Yeah.
My mother would have.
I feel like, I feel like it was, I don't remember being distinctly warned against it, but it was similar to like never flush tampons. So it was just sort of like something you would never do for reasons
also,
that were
it would be so
none
loud.
Of your business.
Yeah.
And it is waking her up. Carla pulls the shoes out and Allison, the landline rings. Julie complains like no one should know that number. My number's unlisted. But Carla says the only person I'm getting to is Ty. And we've been dating for 3 months. I know he's not a stalker. She picks up the phone, Allison. It's not Ty. It is Mark in the Morning from Magic 96.7. And they are have a golden opportunity to win the Magic 96.7 getaway if they can answer one question. They, of course, scream and say, yes, we will do it.
Yeah.
What is the capital?
I miss the radio.
I know. I was thinking that, too. You could win a contest.
I called in a lot to radio stations. Mm-hmm. I've won stuff from radio stations. Like, I loved the radio.
You could also tape things off the radio, like in your parents' car. So I would call and request a song and then tape it in the car.
Yes, if I didn't have the tape. Yeah.
Yeah. He asks the question, Allison, I ask it of you, what is the capital of Brazil?
Is it Rio de Janeiro?
Carla and Julie don't know, and they panic, so they're running around, and finally Julie finds a bag of Brazilian coffee. Well, thank goodness. She looks at it, Rio de Janeiro, of course. Mark, they tell him it's Rio. Mark says, you have won 4 tickets to the Bahamas for this weekend, which is insane.
Insane.
Insane. Because it's basically like for right now. You have to go right now.
You have to go to the airport when you hang up.
They are ecstatic. They weren't going to do anything anyways. They say, let's do this. Carl, of course, is taking Ty. And Julie calls Ray. And Ray's and is like, this incredible opportunity has fallen in my fucking lap. Come up here and let's go to the Bahamas. And Ray's like, oh, you can go to the Bahamas, but you can't come here with me. And she's like, again, it's not about you. I do want to spend time. That's why I'm inviting you to the fucking Bahamas, idiot.
I just don't want to go to the same place where we murdered someone and our friends died.
Right. Traumaport, Massachusetts. I can't do it yet. Plus it's free. So it's like, what are we talking about? We're like all 20 years old, please. And he says, you know what? It's been crazy here. There's so many fish. It's big fish season. So I'm going to have to go back out again. I'm going to try. I'll try, but I don't think I can make it. But meanwhile, when he hangs up, his fisherman coworker Dave is like, what are you talking about? We haven't caught anything. Did your girlfriend say that she had a free trip to the Bahamas? What is wrong with you? Just go, you fucking moron.
Correct response.
The pride of men. Ray takes out a ring and shows Dave, well, the reason I wanted her to come down here is I wanted to propose. She's got this beautiful diamond ring. And he's like, you know, right, you're right. I should call her back and just say I'm going and I can propose there. And Dave says, no. And this is the stupidest idea in the movie. He says, let's just drive up there and surprise her. So they're not going to call and say I'm going. But I'm like, you don't even know when the flight is.
Right.
What are you talking about?
This weekend, that could mean anything.
Anytime.
Also, don't surprise this woman with anything.
Right. Don't just show up. She clearly is not into it. But he says, okay, I'll go up there. And Dave says, I'll go up there too and I can spend the weekend, you know, in presumably Boston. Allison, they get in the car, they start driving, it's nighttime now, and they drive down a lonely country road, I guess between Southport and Boston. They find a car in the middle of the road and a body lying in their lane.
Boy, the way I would just keep driving.
Well, that's what Dave wants to do. Dave's like, he's obviously dead. We just, it's like, well, yes, Dave, but that's the problem. It's not like, oh, he's dead, we just kept driving. Ray is a good person. He gets out to go look and try to help the person. Unfortunately, Allison, when he gets the body, it is dressed as a fisherman, and it is a mannequin deliberately placed in the road specifically to stop him. And of course, he knows what time it is. Time to die! And he turns around just in time to see a killer dressed like a fisherman and killing him with a giant fish hook. And even worse, he steals Ray's car and chases him down the road. Ray is running, barreling down the road. This car is chasing him. A semi is coming from the other side and basically has to like whip around this corner to avoid Ray. And so Ray dives off the embankment and rolls down into a ravine. Carla and Julie in the morning are waiting for Ty to pick them up. Julie's disappointed. She called Ray 4 times. He hasn't replied. She's like, I guess he's really mad, but he's not going to come. I just thought maybe he would surprise me, you know, he'd drive up. Yeah. But Carla says, you left him messages. If he wanted to come, he would have called you back. Ty arrives with Will. And Carla says, I know. This is not a setup. I just didn't want to waste the 4th ticket. Everyone else is out of town. And I like Will, too. He's my friend. So Will will be our 4. And if something were to happen, well, who's to say that would be so bad? On the plane, Will panics the entire time because he hates flying. And he's like trying to like sputter out like plane facts. Yeah. Like about how horribly things could go. And Julie says,
you know what? Take deep breaths. Think of something happy from your childhood.
What if I don't have anything happy from childhood?
Oh, Will, you're blowing it.
Man, just pretend you do to make this girl want to stay with you.
And so we're kind of playing fast and loose with the geography of the Bahamas.
Of course.
But at a certain point, they land and they get to a shore and they're getting on a boat to take them to their specific island, a teeny tiny island with a teeny tiny resort on it. Very secluded.
Sure.
Ty immediately starts vomiting from seasickness. And we meet Paulson, the boat captain, and he explains, this boat is the only way on or off this island. Unless you get hurt, then they call the Coast Guard. But we shut down at 6 p.m. So if you want to leave, you have to do it during the day, okay? The shore literally looks like a pine forest that you'd see in, like, the
Northeast.
Maine, basically. Yeah. And which is very funny. And then when you actually see the resort, like, clearly, I tried to look up where they filmed it. But, like,
yeah.
A teeny tiny resort, there are palm trees. Maybe it's in L.A. And the resort itself is, we're sort of cheating the size of it at all times, right?
Yeah, of course.
They meet their concierge, Derek, who has a thick Bahamian accent, greets them and carries their bags and says, please let me know anything you might need. Paulson makes fun of him and Derek drops the accent. He's just American. He's like, look, it's the end of the season. I need to make tips any way I can. And these tourists love that shit. They walk into the main building. They're spotted by Titus, who's played by Jack Black in white dreads, doing a very strong black scent. That I think even at the time would have been laying it on pretty thick.
Even the dreads.
He runs up to Ty, the black man, and says, do you want to buy some bud? And he's going through all these different kinds of weed he has. He immediately singles out Ty. And Ty, of course, is like, I'm going to need you to not talk to me.
Yeah, good.
At any point while I'm here. And Titus is like, that's cool. I'll see you guys later. And of course, he exists solely to be murdered. And I am
loving it.
I can't wait. We go into the main, the lobby, and everything is like a small bungalow. So even the lobby is like, it's more of like a house, basically, which would be really fun. except it's the end of the season, so they are basically the only people staying here, right?
I don't like that.
No, it's very creepy. She tries to talk to a housekeeper, Olga, but she just walks away. Ty tries to, like, look around the back of the counter to see, like, who's here? Is there an office behind there? And there's an aggressive Rottweiler chained up behind the counter. Very strange.
Finally, unnecessary.
The front desk clerk arrives. It's Mr. Brooks, played by none other than Jeffrey Combs of Reanimator fame. And he says, oh, great. The contest winners are here. He's immediately mad. He's immediately, like, hostile to them.
Plus, well, like, if they're kind of the last people of the season, I guess they could have been, like, shutting down a little bit or something.
Yes. So I think that maybe he's like, all right, it's an old hotel. Judy Garland stayed here. Like, just giving this, like, he doesn't give a fuck about it.
Yeah.
He looks and he looks at their booking and he says, oh, you're in 2000. Oh, my God. You're in rooms 201 and 202, the honeymoon suites. And he looks at them. He's like, I'm assuming you children haven't exchanged vows yet. And Julie says, we haven't exchanged anything. You don't have to worry about that. He says, during your stay, our marginally trained off-season staff of 5 will tend to your every need. And that's
can I go home?
Yeah. That's when Carly realized, like, what do you mean off-season? He's like, oh, yeah, it's the 4th of July. Everyone is leaving because storm season, like clockwork, this weekend is when storms start. It's going to be rainy all weekend. This is our version of winter. And now Carl is mad, but I was also like, girl, you got a free trip to the Bahamas. Of course it was going to be during the off season. It wasn't going to be the expensive trip. It was
it's a local radio station.
Yes.
Giving away they don't have the budget for like a lavish in season stay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But everyone's determined to have a great time. They're like, it'll be, you know, we'll go to the bar, you know, like we'll sing karaoke, we'll go to the gym, we'll use the jacuzzi. There's plenty of things we can do. Let's have a great trip. We then meet the porter. His name is Estes. He brings their bags to the room. And it's like, oh, 201 and 202, we don't use those rooms much. Okay. But again, I was like, I guess that's what a free trip would be. It's like the rooms that nobody uses at a weirdo resort with no guests. All right. They tell him we won a contest. All we had to do is name the capital of Brazil. They said, Rio, baby. He's like, well, congratulations. Let me know if you need anything. And Carl and Ty are obviously they're going to take one room because they cannot wait to have sex.
Yeah, yeah.
And so Will's with Julie. And Julie's like, I don't know about this. He says, don't worry. I could sleep on the couch. You know, we're on vacation. Don't feel weird about it. And she says, okay. Meanwhile, we find Ray in a hospital bed covered in bruises while the doctor tells the detective the story that Ray told them before he passed out here. His friend was killed. This fisherman showed up to murder him, took his car. And the detective's like, well, the thing is, there wasn't any other body. We didn't find one. We didn't find a vehicle. We didn't find another vehicle. We just found his. I think he was drunk and he was driving and he was thrown from his car. And now he's trying to cover it up because there's no evidence of a murder. Of course, you know. Ben Wills is too good for that. They walked down the hall and suddenly
they didn't find his friend?
They didn't find Dave's body.
Okay.
So clearly the killer has stashed the body to throw, you know, him off the scent. And specifically,
like, you could just be like, go find my friend Dave. If you can't call him, then he's probably dead.
Exactly. And they do say, like, well, we'll call down to the dock. We'll ask around for see how many Daves they have, if they're missing any Daves. Allison, they hear flatlining from Ray's room. They all run over there. Ray has pulled off his sensors and has left. So he has left the hospital because he knows the killer is alive. And he, of course, is going to find Julie and seek his revenge. So Ray jumps to a lot of conclusions, but he is correct. Meanwhile, at the resort, Ty and Will go to the bar. Ty is annoyed at everything, and he's extremely annoyed by Will, who's constantly spouting, like, science facts, and is kind of like the nerd, and he says, I don't care. They meet Nancy, played by Jennifer Esposito. Nice to see her. She's sort of like she's like, I'm in here. You know, just grizzled, still looks great, but, like, I've had a million stories, I've heard it all. And she tells them that she shot her ex-boyfriend, and they're like, we get a Mai Tai? And she makes them dark and stormies, which when I drank, I did enjoy. Carl and Julie, after they get dressed, they join them. There's no one else in the bar. It's them and Nancy. And everyone's grimacing. The drinks are incredibly strong because I guess she's like, I don't care. You guys can get wasted here.
Right.
Allison, Nancy points, and there's a karaoke machine. And she says, go fucking embarrass yourselves. Julie's like, no, don't make me sing. And I will say that the soundtrack to the film does have a Jennifer Love Hewitt song on it, and that is How Do I Deal?
How Do I Deal? I liked that song.
I liked it. I liked her as a pop musician. Again, like similarly, if you were an actress, you had a pop album. If you were a pop star, you would end up in movies.
You would end up in a movie. Yeah.
Back when the Hollywood machine really was giving it to us. But Julie gets up there and Carla forces her to get on stage and sing I Will Survive, a classic. They're having fun. They're drinking. And then Julie turns around to read the next verse and sees on the screen the words, I still know what you did last summer. Allison, if that were to happen to you, what would you do?
What would you do?
I'm leaving. Like, I'm leaving the resort. I'm not going to stay here anymore. I'm getting us flights. We're getting off this island. We're going back home to, like, be around more people and more people who understand. Like, at best, someone is playing a joke that is very mean. But who? You know? Like, so this is enough of, like, okay, I'm, like, sharing a room with somebody I don't want to share it with. It's off season. Everyone here is weird. Let's just get out of here. We didn't spend any money. Let's
go.
Let's just go to the airport, switch the flight.
Before things go too far awry. Yeah. And I guess technically, in order to, explain what this means, she would have to tell all her friends everything that happened.
Right.
Right. And from what we can understand, Carla knows a tragic thing happens, that people were murdered.
Yes.
She does not know the specifics of it. Will is just a newbie. Ty is new to the group. So it's like, it would require her to be like, hey, here's the thing. Me and my boyfriend may or may not have killed this guy twice. The first time didn't take. The second time may have taken, but it seems like he might be back.
But we still don't know. Yeah.
Because the alternative is Carla wrote it, basically, or one of the guys. Right. So that's also a really bad sign. If somebody you're with found this out and is now harassing you, that's perhaps even a worse sign.
Yes.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Either way, we see Nancy the bartender, because obviously they have to create like suspicion of everybody on the staff. So she kind of like smirks and like slinks away behind the bar. It's like, oh, is she involved?
It's not her.
It's not going to be her. But by the time Julie points it out, like for everyone to look at the screen, the text is gone. Obviously, she runs back to her room in a panic and she finds on a table a little envelope with her name. She opens it and it says, surprise. And she turns around and Will's there and he drops two champagne glasses. He's holding Rose's champagne glasses and a bottle of champagne. And he's like, I'm so sorry. And she says, no, it's okay. He says, I'm sorry. I think I crossed the line. Yeah, Will. Yeah, I just feel like she has not indicated at any point that she's interested.
Right. And like you're already kind of like you're trapped in you're staying in a room together. Like you can't keep making moves this bold.
Yes. It's too romantic. Like if you haven't even kissed or gone on a date and then you do this, it's too much.
It's too much.
Will goes to take a walk to sort of like get over his embarrassment. And Julie could hear what sounds like Carl and Ty fucking through the wall. In fact, Carla's just bouncing on the bed because she's like, "When I'm going to switch my major to finance because I want a bed this big. I want to be staying at resorts all the time." Ty is obviously trying to have sex, but Carla wants to go in the jacuzzi first. And the jacuzzi is like one of those like in the pool jacuzzis. So it is in the main pool. But again, nobody else seems to be here except for the staff.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for our staff, their numbers will also be dwindling. We see Derek. At the dock.
Poor staff. They did ask for this.
I think Derek got two lines before he's about to be murdered. Derek is pulling a dinghy in, pulling the rope in. Here's someone behind him, whips around. It is Titus. Titus, who is the most annoying person you've ever met, is begging him, let's go to the mainland. Let's take one of the boats. There's a huge party. Let's go, let's go hang out. Derek's like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to spend time with you. Please leave me alone. Titus leaves, only for Derek to get shoved off the dock. he, of course, presumes it was Titus, and he's pulling himself back up, screaming at him, ready to fight him. Unfortunately, it wasn't Titus. It was a fisherman murderer, and poor Derek is immediately hooked to death by a deranged man.
Blind and sick.
Out for blood. And so we know for a fact the fisherman has arrived in the Bahamas. Yes, so he's on the island. Back in the U.S., we see Ray at a payphone trying to call the resort. But obviously, like, the staff has gone to bed. It's after hours. Mr. Combs went to his quarters, wherever they stay. No one's picking up. We see Olga, the housekeeper, doing rounds, which is like, it's at night. And also, no one's there. I just don't I think she would have knocked off for the day. And if only she had, because she pulls sheets from a bed and puts them in her cart, only to look and see her hands are covered in blood. And she turns as another door opens. The fisherman grabs her, hooks her, and wrenches her corpse through the door. And we get the little swinging do not disturb on the doorknob when he shuts the door.
Fun.
Back in the jacuzzi, Ty and Carla. Ty's trying to fuck, obviously. Carla's getting in the mood. And finally, after, you know, minutes of foreplay, or, you know, like, they start to really, we're sort of going at it. Of course, they are immediately interrupted by Titus, who is smoking weed in the pool. Will also joins them. Ty is extremely annoyed by this, but he says, Will says, "How's the water?" And Ty says, "Crowded." But we're having a good time. Will asks Carla and Ty for advice with Julie. And Carla says, "Just hang in there. You know, like, you can't give up so easily." Again, I just don't know.
That's not good. Like, she's not interested.
Yeah.
Like, maybe she would be if she wasn't still deep in her trauma of a double murder of a man and both of her friends dying.
Now, I think in real life, this is the exact situation where, like, you would sleep with this guy, but then you probably would regret it because you would be drunk. You would do it because you're drunk at a resort and you had a fight with your boyfriend.
On a trip, and you feel like you really should, and you're like, well, maybe this will help. But it's like, well, it didn't.
It didn't. It's just Will. In the room, Julie gets out of the shower. Of course, she hears a thud, and Allison, she notices her toothbrush is missing. When she goes to brush her hair, we see a figure enter the suite. And that's what I'm saying. If this was me and I had seen that text on the karaoke screen, I would want to be with everybody.
Yeah,
I'd be like, I'm going to be in your room
now. You wouldn't catch me alone for the rest of this film.
Allison, she hears a sound in her closet. She throws open the closet door and finds the dead, hanging, murdered body of Derek. She screams. She runs down to the pool in a panic. They go to get Mr. Combs. Unfortunately, by the time they get back to her room, the body is gone and the blood dripping off of it is wiped off the floor.
Ooh.
And so everyone's like, okay, Julie's starting to lose it. And Julie says, no, it was just here. I promise you. But again, can she trust her own judgment?
Right.
Nancy also, bartender, runs over because of the screams. And again, I guess to intimate, maybe she was involved. We know it's not you, Nancy.
Yeah.
Even though they did throw me out because it is Jennifer Esposito. So you are a little bit of a name at the time.
Right.
I mean, not too, but like, so you think maybe she's going to be doing more. Mr. Combs reassures her, in the morning, I'll go talk to Derek. We'll make sure he's fine. Julie is not having it. They all go to Carla and Ty's room and try to, like, calm her down. Mr. Combs tells them, look, the last ship is gone for the night. A giant storm is hitting the island.
Great.
Julie wants to call for help, but the phone lines have gone down already. And before he leaves, Mr. Combs warns them, if it's as bad as they think it'll be, we'll just have to batten down the hatches. Like, and worst case scenario, we have an emergency weather shelter.
Like, if it's that bad, don't be open, even for a radio station winner. Like, just be like, we don't operate the hotel right now.
It seems wildly dangerous, but I guess that's what resorts have to do. I suppose they're in areas with tropical storms. And Carla asks, well, is there a radio? And he says, yes, there's a radio, but it's just for emergencies. Everything's fine. It's just the phone lines are down. So everyone's safe, because he doesn't believe a dead body was hanging in her closet, obviously. We then see in his quarters, Estes, the porter, his room, like, as the porter at this resort, is filled with books, wall-to-wall bookshelves.
Okay.
And lit candles. And he is practicing what appears to be voodoo. And he recites the phrase, the pain of the past, the fear of the future, the blood of the young. And he burns Julie's toothbrush as part of this ritual. So he took the toothbrush. Meanwhile, Titus is tending to his weed plants in his room. And I was like, does he work for the resort, or does he just the weed dealer on the resort? Like, what is his day job at the resort? I was unclear.
Yeah.
He looks, he sort of searches around his coffee table for a lighter to smoke his bong. Unfortunately, a hook comes down and pins his hand to the coffee table. That's right. The killer has arrived. We also, like, his area where he's at also has a bunch of, like, I guess it's like the maintenance room. Like, he's smoking in the maintenance room. So there's all like of these, all this equipment. And the fisherman goes over and we see him, like, almost put his hand on a big wrench. And Titus goes, no! And then, like, almost put his hands on, like, a lawnmower. No! And then finally he lands on a giant set of hedge clippers. He's like, and no, like, yes, not those. The fisherman picks them up and rams them through Titus's chest, killing, like, straight into his heart.
Ooh.
Killing him.
That's a pretty brutal death for someone who, like,
just
sucked,
happened to be
but
there.
Was just annoying.
Right, like, there's no indication, and I think you know this, he's just there for body count, so it's like, you brutally murdered this man who you have no connection with because he sucked. I guess because he was there. Meanwhile, we see Ray go into a pawn shop. He's also, Ray's really beat up and has one arm in a sling. He pawns the engagement ring, and I'm like, oh, it's for money to fly to the Bahamas.
Yes.
No, Allison, he's buying a handgun.
I was going to say,
and the guy says, are you sure, son? And Ray says,
you sure you want to go this way?
Is it loaded?
No.
Loaded.
Loaded.
Like, oh, damn.
I don't think that's something they do.
I was like, I don't think they're legally allowed to load the gun and, like, carry it out.
Not at a pawn shop. Like,
I don't know the rules.
No, I don't know.
I guess still Massachusetts.
Yeah, that's true.
Over on the island, rain pours down. The storm hits the island, and all of the, because they are kids, I'm like, all of them are sleeping in the same bed and wake up. Ty's mad they didn't have to get sex. It's like, you got to put that out of your mind because you're about to be murdered.
Not be even in the top three priorities for you for the next 45 minutes.
Running, hiding, stabbing if you have to. But now Ty is sort of like making fun of Julie in a more aggressive way. And she's like at the window, it's like, oh, do you see Freddie or Jason or Freddie out there? Because he doesn't believe that she saw the dead body, which is a pretty hard thing to convince someone of, I understand. But also, if my friends said they saw a body, I would believe them.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Especially a friend who, like, has been through, like, even at, like, I'd believe her. But even at worst, I'd be like, yeah, she's got, like, some stuff from her past. Like, let's at least, like, entertain this and, like, be on the look. I don't know. Like,
no, I agree. Yeah. Carl says, I'm going to take Julie to the gym just so she can sort of work out some of this. You take Will and go do something. And he's like, I got to hang out with Will. Well, let's go find the stoner. And he's like, let's go see the stoner. And also maybe his, like, ping pong paddles or could tell us, like, is there games? Because everything is soaked outside. So, like, maybe we could play something inside. As they walk through the rain, Will's telling Ty, you know, scientists say global warming will lead to increased tropical depressions, leading to more hurricanes. And Ty's like, oh, my God, this is supposed to be a vacation. But again, in the 90s, we did know about climate change. And we were not doing enough.
Yes.
I apologize.
Yes.
To younger people.
Our hands were kind of tied, but, you know, the people in charge certainly didn't give a shit.
No. Nope. And I guess still don't.
Certainly not now.
Will looks up and sees on the second floor, Esty is looking down on them from the window of his apartment. Over the gym, Carla starts working out. She's punching, like, the hanging boxing bag. And she's like, I'm going to give your fisherman some of this. See how he likes it. Julie starts to get the treadmill, but she's too sad to work out. Same girl.
I get it.
Carla suggests, why don't you go get in the tanning bed because there's a whole tanning room while I work out.
Being in the Bahamas and then having to use a tanning bed because the weather's bad. Pretty bad situation.
Carla helps her find the tanning bed. Julie gets in, puts on her music. She has a Walkman. Will and Ty find Titus's cart. I guess he's a drink cart. I don't know. He works for the resort in some regard, but he's got a lot going on. But no, Titus... and they find his sort of maintenance closet near the pool. Unfortunately, when they open it, he has been murdered, right? So they now know that there's a murder. At the exact same time, Carla's in the gym working out. She hears something banging around. She goes to investigate. Again, people are investigating things none of my business. She finds a dryer, like a big industrial dryer for the hotel. She's like, what the fuck is in this? And it's making this insane noise. She opens it. She says, damn, how many pairs of shoes are in there? She opens the door and out falls the dead body of Olga, the housekeeper. Yes. So she, at the exact same time, finds a body. At the exact same time, we see Julie. Again, she's listening to her tunes. She doesn't hear. The fisherman has entered the tanning bedroom he closes the tanning bed handle with a zip tie. So it's now locked together. And then he cranks the tanning bed up to 11. I'm going to say this. I'm not in charge of anything. Tanning beds should not go up to kill.
They should. No. And I don't know if even like in reality they do go very high. Like, I don't
know.
Like, I think there's probably regulations on them. I in middle and high school was a we tanned. You would know the second it got hotter in there.
I also imagine that it must have a timer. Like, after like 20 minutes, it probably just automatically shuts off because people could hypothetically pass out in there and not get out.
You fall asleep.
So all at the same time. And then, of course, she wakes up, realizes she cannot get out of the tanning bed, and she is burning alive. Luckily, she starts screaming. Ty, Will, and Carla run to the sound of her screams. And while in reality, you could just unplug it and then figure out how to cut the zip tie.
The mechanism that's cooking her off.
This is a movie. We need to have a little more drama. And Carla hands Ty a hand weight and he smashes off the handle and drags her out. And they all sort of confer. And Julie says, I told you I'm not crazy. He's here. He's on the island. Ooh. And Carla says, well, this definitely fucking qualifies as an emergency. Let's go find Mr. Combs and call for help.
Wait, so when she says he's here to them, who do they think he is? Because she hasn't told them the whole story yet, or has she?
Yeah, no. We're to understand that Carla knows about Ben Willis, but in the context of he is
dead.
And
that he murdered her friends.
But I will say at this point, Carla doesn't stop and say, wait, do you mean Ben Willis, that guy that you thought you killed and then he killed your friends? And that, like, we're not explaining it. I think we're just presuming as the audience that, like, because you know, they're not asking any questions. But I think the guys are like, okay, yeah there's a murderer here.
That's all you really need to know.
Yes, but we don't get the, we do get, obviously she in the third act, like, tells them everything. But as of right now, the guys are just like, well, whoever he is, let's go get the radio and make an emergency phone call to the Coast Guard. They burst into Mr. Combs' office. Allison, he of course has been brutally murdered. Blood everywhere and written on the wall behind him in his own blood. It says, I still know. And even worse, next to him is the blood spattered, broken radio. Allison, who will survive this film?
Who will survive?
Boy, I can't remember if they made another one of these. So,
they did.
So I'm going to guess Jennifer Love Hewitt survives. Julie's going to survive. I think Freddie Prinze is going to not. No, he's going to make it. I think Will's going to die. Great.
I mean, they are the stars.
But I'm like, oh, is the third one more of a, like, you know, we started losing people from the Scream franchise eventually. So Will's going to die. I think maybe
Ty and Carla. Are they getting out of here?
I feel like one of them won't make it. I feel like Carla will and Ty might not make it.
Oh, my God. Apparently there is a fourth film. Oh yeah, they're coming out. We'll read it at the end, but they are cut. There's a new installment that is coming out soon.
I had read about that and was like, ooh.
And Jennifer Love Hewitt and Freddie Prinze Jr. do reprise their roles in the new one. So yes, we know that they both survived. Yeah. And that makes sense. They probably were like, if we're going to make another one, we have to keep
it alive. We have to, like, carry on. Otherwise just make new movies.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Allison, they run down to the dock and they find all of the boats have been cut loose and have drifted out to sea. So there's not even a boat they can commandeer. And Will says, what the fuck is going on, Julie? And she finally tells them, it's him. He's here, Ben Willis. He's going to kill us one by one. And Carla's like, wait, but I thought you killed him. And Julie says, they never found the body. And Ty goes, oh, come on. Like, and he is like the voice of reason at this point. He's like, what are you talking about? And she says, 2 summers ago, we lied to the authorities. We hit Ben Willis with our car and threw his body in the water to cover up. But then last July 4th, he killed my friends, Helen and Barry. And I thought Ray and I killed him, but I was wrong, clearly, because he's here. And even then, they're like, but we're in the Bahamas. Like, how the fuck would that guy even know we're here? Like, what do you mean? And he's like, and Ty's like, there has to be another explanation. Somebody's a murderer on this island. It's not going to be that guy you killed. It must be something else going on.
It feels more likely that it's the guy she killed than just random murderer finds her and her friends.
Exactly. And they say, they're like, who's the only person on this island that we haven't found dead yet? The only employee who hasn't been killed is Estes the porter, who we saw practicing voodoo with Julie's toothbrush. So they say, maybe it's him. Ty and Will are going to go confront him. And basically, Carla leaves Julie there, and Carla's like, I cannot believe that you didn't tell me everything, which I get. I understand for dramatic purposes, but in the emotions are high. Yes. But in reality, I just don't know if you wanted to know everything like that. I wouldn't want to know this.
I would not. That is none of my business if the man you murdered is dead or not.
Meanwhile, Ray is, we see him on a bus to Miami. So he didn't have the fare. I guess he's taking a bus to Miami that he's going to take.
How long are they there? Like, because his timeline is definitely like, it is, it's like several days to get from Boston to Miami.
I completely agree. And I guess it's the overnight bus. So like he's making the best time he can. And luckily he arrives just in time. So I guess he knew, you know.
Okay, well, it all works out.
Sea. I guess he knows the rhythms of the natural world helped him. And then I was like, I guess he couldn't take a plane because they don't let you get on a plane with no luggage.
With a loaded gun.
Covered in bruises. So I'm like, okay, I understand you're taking the bus.
And like also really injured, arm in a sling, but, loaded gun,
but in reality,
no luggage.
But if somebody doesn't have a car, that's everybody on the bus. Like the bus is like, yeah, get out here. You just got one gun. Get on. That's fine. None of my business.
Get on.
They go to Estes, you know, his apartment, and they bust in. Ty's freaking out. He's like knocking over the candles. He's like, look at all this fucking voodoo shit. What is happening? And Julie finds a shrine in a cabinet. They're inside what appears to be human bones. We don't find anything about. Maybe they're animal bones. And we find Julie's toothbrush, Carla's hair tie, which she misplaced earlier, a piece of Ty's jewelry. And then we don't see anything of Will's. Interesting. Mm. Julie says, oh my God, he's practicing voodoo. And I'm like, we're going to bring voodoo into this, and they're going to think he's like a voodoo killing them. Whatever. Will and Ty say, we're going to go find flashlights. And if we can, guns. Sure. And they have the girls wait, like sort of in the main building in the lobby. Allison, the power to the entire resort goes out. And at that moment, Julie looks down and sees a globe. And on Brazil, she sees the actual capital of Brazil. Allison, what is the actual capital of Brazil? Brasilia.
Oh. Well,
I didn't know. I would have said Rio.
I only know one city in Brazil, and that was it. So
Estes appears and says, Brasilia, that's the real capital. Or they rush over, and Will's like, we saw all your voodoo shit. He said, I wasn't trying to hurt you. I was trying to protect you. Oh, of course. He says, I did it after I find the bodies, after I discovered the radio was non-functional. Julie says, I know that Ben Willis did this. And Essie says, I know Ben Willis. He used to work here.
What?
And I swear, I saw him recently down near the orchards in the woods. So Ben Willis worked at this resort, and Estes has seen him. And I was like, I know you don't know these kids, but like, I feel like you should have told someone you saw that old employee in the woods
just
lurking
around. Don't tell these guests, but like, you could have told your boss and coworkers when they were still alive.
Yeah, well,
especially because his vibe is murderer.
Yeah, he's not hiding it. That Ben Willis. Ty says, take us to where you saw him. Let's just go confront him. Let's just do this. Allison, Ray has made it to Paulson, the boat driver. So he's on the other side. He's almost there. And he barges in and says, I need to get to Tower Bay Island. And Paulson says, and have you seen the weather outside? I'm not taking a boat on that. Allison, Ray pulls a gun on him. And says, I don't need a weather report. I need a boat.
He's like, I took a bus here. You think I don't have a gun on me?
Right. I'm going to need you to drive into a hurricane. And Paulson's like, I'll take my boat. Estes leads them into the woods to, a cemetery in the dead of the woods. He tells them Ben Willis worked here for years, had a pretty wife. They had two kids, a boy and a girl. Then one day his wife went missing. They found her eventually. Well, pieces of her. And then he disappeared with the children. They say she cheated on him. They say he beat her. People say a lot of things. Allison, they arrive in the graveyard and they see two headstones, one for Sarah Willis and one for Susan Willis, ostensibly her daughter, leaving Ben Willis and of course, a son. And next to those graves, an open grave with a name spray painted on the stone, Julie James, 1979 to 1998. And Julie throws her arms up and she literally reprises the screaming
but
of the
like
sky
wet.
Moment. She's like, yeah, soaking wet. Julie's like, I'm not going to die on this island. Do you hear me? If you want me back, come and get me. I'm right here. But my grave stays empty.
Incredible.
It's like, exactly. That's exactly what I fucking want out of this movie. Allison, they turn around and Estes is gone. Will says, I'm going to run after him. You guys stay together. Don't worry about me. The girls are like, that doesn't make any sense. Will takes off after him to try to find him. Ty takes the girls back to the resort. And they all go to the kitchen and find an appropriate knife to be stabbing people. Because they're like, we need a weapon.
Finally, yeah.
Ty feels bad because he was kind of razzing Julie earlier about not believing that someone was murdered in her closet. And he says, we're going to get this fucker, okay? And she says, right. So he, you know, we're all on board. We are all ready for this final fight. Will finds Estes dragging a little boat into the water. Because I guess he's like, I would rather get on
a random
go into a hurricane than deal with this murderer. And he says, you should have told us you had a boat. We'll go with you. And Estes says, you're not going anywhere. And hits Will across the skull with his oar, knocking him to the ground. Okay. Back in the kitchen, we hear a knock from inside the industrial fridge. Ty opens it to reveal a little rat. And it's so cute. And then Nancy, the bartender, leaps out. She was hiding. Presumes that it's a killer and hits Ty with a rolling pin, but she's alive. Back to Ray, we see him driving an unfamiliar boat through a tropical storm like an idiot. He tries to call the island for emergency assistance. He doesn't know that everyone is dead and the radio is broken. In the kitchen, Nancy says, you know, I've never seen a dead body before. Julie sighs and says, get used to it. Ty starts complaining. He's like, this is the worst fucking vacation ever.
Correct.
I am tired. I am hungry. I am horny. And I haven't even seen this fucking killer yet. Unfortunately, that basically summons the killer who from behind stabs his hook through Ty's neck and lifts him up off his feet.
But Ty doesn't deserve that. He was not part of anything.
No. Yeah. And I guess like I understand to make a good horror movie, you have to kill characters you care about.
Of course. And we needed a body count. But and I get it. But like from a logic standpoint.
Yes.
He doesn't deserve it.
Yeah. R.I.P. Ty, you were angry and horny to the end, but you were right most of the time.
Yeah.
Except for the part where you didn't believe there was a killer. The girls and Nancy run up the stairs and they make it all the way up into the main building's attic. So they're in the attic, basically on these like slats over the rooms. And they're able to lock the trap door up into the attic. But of course, the killer is pounding on it. He's splintering his way through. And Carla's leg falls through the floorboards into the floor. Nancy's trying to get her out. Her shoes caught. The killer opens the trap door and Carla grabs his arm as he leaps at her and they fall through a skylight into Julie's hotel room. So now they're in her hotel room, rolling around, broken glass everywhere. Carla is like, well, I don't know what else to do. She leaps off the balcony to get away from the killer and hits the roof of the lower roof below, which is over sort of like an atrium, like a greenhouse looking space. So it's all glass. Julie tries to get out and run down to her, but Nancy says she's not going to make it, just leave her. And Julie's like, I've done this before. I'm not going to do that. Okay, we're going to help her. Julie tries to walk on the edge of the glass. Unfortunately, it's not sustaining her weight. She plunges through into sort of like, it looks like an abandoned part of the hotel. And don't worry, her shirt does come undone. So now she's in her bra. Again, of the 90s, like, you better believe if you were a woman in a horror movie, your titties were going to be out at a certain point in the third act. Carla gets up. The door's locked from the outside. Fortunately, Nancy has the utility keys, so she's and Julie are able to run down and try to unlock the padlock. Unfortunately, the fisherman has entered the room behind Carla, and as they watch, he slowly, menacingly comes towards her. Julie is able to smash open a fire axe box and then smash the window. And Carla crawls through just in time, narrowly avoiding the hook. And Nancy says there's only one place we could hide, the emergency storm shelter. Off they go. It's basically a disgusting pitch dark concrete basement when they enter it. And in the dark, Julie says, Carla, grab my hand. And Carla says, okay, I got it. And Julie says, you're not holding my hand. Allison, suddenly Nancy turns on the lights, revealing all the corpses of the dead staff have been stacked down in the emergency shelter. Just then, Will busts in, wounded, his shirt soaked in blood, and says, we got to get out of here. all the corpses are here. The killer's going to come back. They all run back to the lobby so they could be together, corpse free. Will says Estes attacked him and he saw the fisherman on the beach. They look at how much blood is soaking through his shirt. Carl and Nancy run to the front desk to find a first aid kit, giving Julie and Will a moment alone. She's like, I'm so sorry about all of this. I'm so sorry this happened. I'm so sorry you got dragged into this. And she pulls up his shirt and says, I don't see a wound. I don't see where you're bleeding from. And Will says, oh, it's because it's not my blood. And she realizes, yeah. Oh, no. The other killer is Will. Which makes sense. Who else would it have been? Will says in his best radio DJ voice is like, what's your favorite radio station? It's Magic 96.7.
They don't call you. You call them.
I feel like they used to occasionally, but you would have to mostly call. I feel like you'd hear about somebody calling, but I don't know how frequently that was a thing, right? Obviously, he also didn't care that they did not know the capital of Brazil, nor did they double check it. Allison, he drags Julie screaming out into the rain. Nancy and Carla do find the first aid kit, only to turn around to find Estes, who is like what looks to be a harpoon pierced through his body from behind. He falls on a Nancy, and Ben Willis, the fisherman killer, comes into the room and takes the staff part of the harpoon and rams it through Estes into Nancy's body, killing her as well. Carla makes a break for it. And unfortunately, we see Ben is dragging Julie back to the cemetery where he plans to put her in that grave he dug. Julie wrenches free and says, but why are you doing this? Because she's not putting it together yet. She's not making the sun connection we have.
Yeah.
And we get the best line of maybe any horror movie we've ever done, Allison. Oh. He says, don't you get it? Will Benson? Ben's son?
Wow.
He looks over her shoulder and says, hi, Dad. Of course, it's Ben Willis. And he pulls off his hat. And the actor who plays the killer, what his name is Muse. At least
is it the same actor from the first one?
Yes. Good. Yes. He is the third returning performer, Muse Watson. He only gets to speak a little bit, but maybe he is chewing that scenery. And he says, hush now. No more running. No more screaming. Time. To die. Yeah. And he nails it. I was like, yes. Yeah. He grabs Julie and we hear a gun cock. Allison, it is Ray arriving right at the nick of time, baby. Ben Will says, oh, you're not a killer. That's my job. You don't have it in you, son. Allison, Ray pulls the trigger. These goddamn pawn shop guns, it doesn't fire. Yeah, you should have tried it, but what are you gonna do? Shoot it on the bus? I'm glad he didn't. I'm glad he didn't.
I think you can.
I mean, only if you're the driver, I think. Will grabs Ray and just starts beating the shit out of him. Like, just kicking the hell out of him with one bad arm, just kicking him on the ground.
Through a tropical storm. He's tired.
Will says to Ray, I want you to think about all the things we're going to do to her. And Ben commands him, stand him up. And Ben runs at Ray full speed with his hook raised. And at the last moment, as he swings his arm down, Ray dodges to the side and Ben buries his hook into his own son's chest.
Oh, that's fun.
Killing him. Ben screams in agony and Julie grabs the gun and just empties the clip into him. And she screams, just fucking die. And he pitches, Ben Willis, the fisherman killer, pitches backward into the open grave that ostensibly he and his son dug for Julie. But it's not his year. It's her year. The next day, the storm has passed. The resort is an absolute mess. And Julie helps Ray walk through the debris. And we see the Coast Guard helicopter landing. And luckily, Carla limps out of the wreckage. She's alive. And she's alive because she's a star, baby.
Yeah, you can't kill
Sometime
Moesha.
Later, I was essentially, let's say the next year, Julie walks into the... I guess this is like the 90s, too, where like I thought I was going to be married and have a house and have five kids when I was 21. Like she and Ray just bought a home and we see sold sign. I'm like,
she was in college.
What are the most? What are we talking about here? Also, he runs a fishing ship. But maybe they move back to Southport. Sold sign. They are happy. She's got the engagement ring. And when they get ready for bed, he's teasing her as he's brushing his teeth. And he says, are you checking the locks again? And she's like, oh, you know me. She gets into bed. The bed looks so cozy. She looks at her engagement ring. All is right in the world. Allison, she hears a sound. She gets up to explore She finds an open window. Not a big deal. Shuts it. Unfortunately, she does not notice the filthy boot prints across the floor. She looks in her open closet. Nothing there. Content, believing she's safe, she sits on her bed across from this huge teddy bear that Ray has given her as a gift. And in the full-length mirror, she sees under her bed Ben Willis, the fisherman killer, waiting for her. And as she screams, he grabs her legs and drags her under the bed, kicking and flailing. Allison, that's the end of I Still Know.
She emptied a clip into this man, and he's still alive?
Yeah, I guess that's what you have to do, because you might have done another movie, right? And there was a movie in 2006 called I'll Always Know What You Did Last Summer, which I love. Unfortunately, it does not have any of the returning cast.
Just
but we could do that
happens.
One just to see how it measures up. And then there is a new one coming out this year. And it does feature Jennifer Love Hewitt and Freddie Prinze Jr. I mean, that's what the franchises
right.
are
Maybe
now.
It's you their know, kids.
Having the Nev Campbell return. I think that makes the most sense. We've got Madeline Klein. These are the stars of Gen Z or maybe even Gen Alpha that I don't know. Madeline Klein. Sure. She's from Outer Banks and Glass Onion. Sarah Pigeon.
Yeah,
love her name. Don't know her. She's on The Wilds, another show I haven't seen. Tyreek Withers. On the Paramount Plus series, The Game. Jonah Howard King. I'm trying to see how many people I have never seen before. He was in the Little Mermaid movie.
Didn't
he was Prince Eric. Didn't see that one, the new one. And then Chase Sue Wonders. And she was in Bodies,
okay.
Bodies, Bodies.
So
okay,
yeah.
so we were
Bodies,
right.
Bodies is the modern version of the I Know What You Did Last Summer and similar films.
So it makes sense that she would be in it. She's also on an HBO Max series called Generation, which I have never heard of. But congratulations to these young stars and to Jennifer Love Hewitt and Freddie Prinze Jr. I'm excited to see them.
I might see it after we do it.
It is scheduled to be released in July.
We will do it.
And you know we will do it as soon as we can. Allison, what are some fatal mistakes you think were made in I Still Know What You Did Last Summer?
Fatal mistakes.
I mean, if we're going to go all the way back, like, obviously, dumping a body that you've, like, all the mistakes of the first film apply here because they are continuing to affect everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, I think also, like, once you get on that island and see, like, oh, there's storms coming, there's no way on and off at night, there's nothing, like, leave. Like, just leave. Be like, look, it's not, you didn't lose any money on this. Just go.
It would just be really hard to enjoy yourself, right? And I think if I'm Julie, I would be really upset and demand to leave. When the first time that I saw a corpse and my friends didn't believe me, I think I would leave. I think it would be so devastating.
Yeah, how do you, like,
I would have to
comfortably be there.
You can't have fun after that.
No, it's not a vacation anymore.
You can't have a fun vacation. It's not a vacation. I agree. I think, unfortunately, the mistakes have followed from the first film. I guess, I mean, she was nice enough to Will, but it wasn't even like she was leading him on. They don't kiss or anything. So it's not like, uh-oh, you were playing with the devil or whatever. And they couldn't have known that Will was Ben Willis's son. I just don't think they would have been able to put it together. I mean, they should have maybe checked if that was the capital of Brazil. And if it wasn't, maybe they should have asked themselves questions. But again, they're 19. They got a free trip.
Kind of
you can't blame
them
for that. Yeah. So I think it's trying to cover up a murder is the original sin of the franchise that continues to bear out. So the ultimate fatal mistake. And then finally, where would you place I Still Know What You Did Last Summer on the spooky scale, Allison?
A spooky scale.
I'm going to give this a 4, I think. Like, lots of fun. 10 for fun. Some of the deaths are pretty, like, the gardening shit or the hedge clippers into Jack Black's chest. Like, the hook in general, it's, like, a very gross, gory way to die. So we've had and the body count was high. And I think the twist is, like, a fun, like, I don't know, there's something scary about, like, I've been with this person this whole time.
Yeah.
It's a fun late 90s movie that... To me, I could watch and enjoy. So a 4 for me. What about you?
I guess originally it was pitched that it would take place in New Orleans, which I think would be fun. But I understand the resort in as much as it places them in a geographic seclusion, which is fun. I'm going to give this a one. I think for me, I am very much, that's why I like a realistic horror movie. I'm very much about the overall vibe, the compellingness of the film. And once you see Jack Black come out with those white dreads, I said, this is not a serious film. This film is not trying to scare me. I'm having too much fun. So yeah, an absolute blast. Love. I would say a one on the spooky scale. Because, I mean, there is the cemetery, the open grave. I did think that was scary, that idea. And then to have Ray essentially go on this, like,
journey.
Lone
Dark Knight gunman, of the soul. Like
the journey he takes every time they cut to him.
Yeah.
I laughed out loud. When you see him on the bus, like, I just thought that was so funny.
And it's like, it's Freddie Prinze Jr. He's so handsome. He's so, like, even though he's, like, a poor fisherman in this, like, world, it's like, no, he is like a rich nepo baby, and he always will be.
He's a gorgeous star, exactly. Yeah, like, you walk in, it's like,
yeah, well, we'll have to do certainly when the new one in the franchise comes out, but we'll have to see where we can fit the third one without any of the cast, and see exactly what's going on there.
Yes,
I wonder if it'll be part of the kind of universe of the new one, or if it's the or if it's like we're picking up after two.
I'm not holding out a ton of hope based on what I'm seeing here, but we will absolutely do it before, and we'll do it before the new one comes out.
Well,
all right, great. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, I'm excited for this month. We've got some fun ones coming down the pipeline, so pop star, and go listen to the soundtrack for this movie. And if you haven't ever seen The Boy Is Mine music video, go watch that now. It's the best.
Please go watch it. And then immediately adopt the aesthetic. Because that is the aesthetic that I want to come back in earnest. I guess we're never going to get like an overall aesthetic ever again because the internet. But
like incredible, like frosted makeup and like,
Oh, yeah, like the gems, like the bejeweled, like glitter, like stuck around your eyes. I guess we do have some of that. I feel like we haven't had a real makeup moment.
And then it's like, but everything since has been like the Kardashians, clean girl, wet skin, glass.
And I feel like in Euphoria, they were doing some eye looks that I appreciated.
Yes. But that hasn't permeated like greater culture.
It wasn't like it was. Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you for joining us. We love you dearly. And until next time, please
keep it spooky.
Keep it spooky. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Ruin Podcast, or join us at patreon.com/ruinpodcast for exclusive episodes and video content. Ruin is a Radio Point production with executive producers Alex Bach, Sabrina Fonfetter, Dan Powell, and Houston Snyder. Recorded and edited by Kat Iosa and Olivia Posner.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.